The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
What is that? Someone made a tape of something dying or something.
Turn that crap off! What's going on?
I want this music out of my head.
Hey, turn that off! Turn that off right now!
PFW in Progress with Red Kirsch.
Well, Dak, here's the deal. I'm the best there is, plain and simple. I mean, I wake up in the morning, I piss excellence, and nobody can hang with my stuff. You know, I'm just a big, hairy American winning machine. If you ain't first, you're last.
Paul Perillo.
Shut up in here. I'm trying to sleep. One of you turds is about to get smacked in the mouth.
Hey, stop yelling at me, okay?
And Andy. And Andy?
Hey, Ryder!
Please be 18.
Andy Hart.
We were shellbacks together, Andy! You got payback coming!
Eric Scalavino.
Remember that time we got kicked out of biology for playing with Matchbox cars?
Yeah!
Who's retarded now?
For now, anyway.
My husband Gregory and I wish only for that which every other couple wishes for. To tame Komodo dragons in Sri Lanka.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Hakuna Matata, bitches.
Welcome to Foxborough, everyone. It's Thursday, July 11th, and it's appropriate that the skies have opened up and it's downpouring weather, because when it rains, it pours around here. Yet another off-the-field incident for us to lead things off with. Unfortunately, and for the next 2 hours, we're going to be here to commiserate with you all and to discuss the details as we know them. Eric Scalavino and my friends from Kraft Sports Productions, Brian Lowe, only here for a short time.
Friends, huh?
Yes, friends. Good
awesome.
Friends.
Well, thanks.
Am I on here?
Brian Zachary Lowe, yes, you are.
Yeah. Am I on?
Okay.
And, yeah, I'm on.
Be quiet.
The Georgia Peach herself, Jackie Britton.
The obligatory,
Kevin, that never gets old. I love it.
The obligatory.
It really doesn't get old. It does not. I thought we'd lost that because we hadn't played that
in so
long.
Oh, you can't lose that.
No.
If that gets lost, I'm sure I'll be asked to come in and reread that.
Reread
and
it?
You know what? I'm sure you would.
But I would.
Yeah, but I don't think you would do it with the same zeal that you did it the first time. Because you really
right
had
now.
some passion behind
relive
that.
Relive your favorite Patriots memories at the Hall at Patriot Place.
Oh,
presented by Patheon.
Patheon.
Oh, I didn't remember that one.
Patheon. All right. Well, before we get too frivolous here, webradio@patriots.com is our email address, 508-298-0398, the ACE ticket hotline. And I'm sure the emails are already starting to come in because, as I was driving into work this morning, I saw the news or heard the news.
Yeah, I've already gotten a tweet about it. Figured we could
that, another Patriots player, is in trouble with the law and in trouble with the law again, unfortunately. Alfonso Dennard, according to the Omaha World Herald newspaper out in Nebraska, arrested this morning around 2 a.m., coincidentally the same time roughly that he had the previous incident, was seen by police straddling the line between two lanes. He was pulled over, was the only person in his vehicle, refused a breathalyzer test, was taken into custody, brought to a detox facility nearby, and charged with brought in on suspicion of driving under the influence.
Is it wrong to, this could be a totally awful question, but is it wrong to refuse a breathalyzer test?
It doesn't help.
Fortunately, I haven't been in that situation to have to make that decision.
It doesn't help. I mean, it just heaps suspicion on you that, if you have nothing to hide, take the test.
Fine.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess.
Listen,
I don't know.
Whatever the details are, the fact that at 2 in the morning on a Wednesday night in Nebraska, I'm not one of these, nothing good happens after midnight and all that. Listen,
let's be honest.
I've been out after 2 a.m.
No, actually, I never have. People go out.
Really?
Of course I have. People go out, and that's fine. But Alfonso Dennard, currently on probation from the incident from last year,
yeah,
has a jail sentence for next March, which I don't think you have to read too much into it to say they did him a bit of a favor. He was sentenced in April.
More than a bit of a favor.
He was sentenced in April to a month to 30 days in jail.
Mm-hmm.
He's a professional football player.
Right.
They said you can serve this in March, the only month on the NFL calendar where NFL players have no chance of having any requirements of being in the facility. So they did him a favor. While on probation at 2 in the morning, he gets in his car, and if there's even a suspicion of DUI, he gets arrested. I think, in my opinion, he's not going to be with the Patriots for too much longer.
Right.
And I feel like they probably, when they drafted him in the seventh round, I don't know this for certain, but when they took a chance on him in the seventh round, when they were the team that did that, I have to think they said, zero tolerance for you, buddy. We're giving you a chance. No one else did through six rounds. We're giving you a chance. You're a talented player. We believe in you, and we believe that the incident from last week, and it was only a week before the draft that he got arrested, we believe that that's not truly who you are. But you need to prove that to us, and we're going to give you zero tolerance. This now is you, me speaking. Right. I don't know this. This is
you're saying if you were in charge of the team, that's what you would have
done. Yeah, and I think there's a chance that they did that. We don't know that.
Right.
And this, to me, is too much. This is too much. And
maybe
even
I just drink to get drunk.
Thanks, Eddie Mac.
Even if the Patriots don't release him, I have to think that he's facing more jail time and more jail time sooner than next March. And I also have to think that the league will come down and suspend him. So I have a feeling that he wouldn't be playing right off the bat anyway.
Well, that again, that's all stuff that we're speculating on.
All
we don't, know. Here's what we do know from the team officially. A statement released just before we came on the air this noontime. Quote, the New England Patriots are extremely disappointed to learn of Alfonso Dennard's arrest. We take this matter very seriously and are working to get more information on the incident. So essentially, the team's stance right now is, yeah, we know about it, and that's really it.
Right.
Yep.
That's their stance. Yeah. We've heard about it, and we're waiting to let it play out. If we can read anything in between those lines, I wouldn't be surprised, Bilo, if your presumption is correct that they're waiting for something more to happen for proof or for evidence or for some official charge for them to make their next move, whatever that next move might be.
I don't think they're passively sitting back and just letting it all play out, see what's going on. I think their people, I think they are also actively trying to look for information on this and do it quickly because I think there's a need to make a quick decision on this guy. I really do. And you know, when we look at it from a football standpoint, when teams lose guys to free agency in March or release a guy early on, and you have the entire offseason to make your moves, sign guys in free agency, make trades, and, of course, the draft, you have time to replenish.
Right.
When one of your more important offensive players in Aaron Hernandez, and I think one of your more important defensive players, a starting cornerback on a team that is constantly looking for stability at cornerback, when they both get arrested and they've obviously released Hernandez. He's not going to be around, obviously. And now we'll see what's going on with Dennard. Yeah, I know, breaking news here. Two guys in the final
weeks. You agree with
me
that they cut David Ruffer?
Exactly. You like that line.
I did.
Two guys in the final weeks of the offseason. It's very difficult to replace guys at this time of the year. So this is a critical decision from a pure football standpoint.
You're right. And I think that leads into the question that I think we should present to the listeners today.
Yeah.
If you were the decision-making person in this organization, what would you do right now, knowing what we know right now and knowing what's transpired with this team throughout this offseason, what would you do with Alfonso Dennard right
Can
now?
Can the team afford to keep him with the fact that he's already been arrested?
Exactly.
I think the decision is you cut ties with the guy. That's me. I agree
with you, by the way.
I do too.
And I just think there's such a spotlight on this team with what happened with Hernandez. We heard what Robert Kraft said the other day.
Yep.
We know how important the image and the brand is. And I'm not saying this is the PR is the most important thing here, but the image of the team has taken a hit. I don't want to use laughingstock, but there's been a lot of attention, negative attention on the Patriots with what happened with Hernandez. And I don't see how they can put up with this. And sure, there's an element of you got to see how it plays out and innocent until proven guilty. But this is not a guy with a first. This is not a first offense. He's currently on probation. I don't think they. It stinks,
yeah,
but
you.
I don't think they can afford to keep him. I really don't.
I don't either. And for all those reasons you mentioned,
yeah.
And now we've done that. Let's assume that our scenario comes through. We've done that. We've cut ties with Tlaib.
With
Dennard. Who lines up opposite Tlaib? Is it Dowling? Is he the incumbent starter? At that point.
Well, we've got a position battle coming.
Yeah.
I think
it's McCourty.
Yeah, we were just talking about this.
Do you?
I do.
There and then.
I think the best if you're just the best fit overall. Yesterday was Tlaib and Dennard at cornerback.
Yep.
McCourty and a Wilson or Gregory at safety. The best stability and I think when the team's secondary got into its best groove last year in the second half, that was the way it looked. I think Arrington's best fit is at nickel cornerback, not outside.
I agree.
So I think
even though he has some experience there, it's not his best.
What about Wilson and Wilson at safety?
I don't like that. Well, because I'm not a believer in Tavon Wilson.
Okay.
And I mean, unless he makes some miraculous year two jump, which I'm not expecting, I just don't believe. I don't think the guy can play.
So Gregory and
Adrian Wilson. I think that's. But I do think if Rozai Dowling or Logan Ryan or Brandon Jones really shines and steps it up over the next 6 weeks, then I think we could see. Because hey, let's be honest. Dennard going into camp, it wasn't as if people were pegging him as a starter, and it took a little time for that to develop. So it's not out of the realm of possibility that Logan Ryan or Rozai Dowling finally could elevate himself into a starting role. That would have to play out during training camp. If that were to happen, I think you could go Tlaib and one of those guys and keep McCourty at safety, which I think is the best would be the best outcome. But I think McCourty would have to shift over. It's hard to say because there's not a whole lot of quality depth at either position. I think starting wise,
and some unproven players.
Yeah, and I think top two or three at cornerback, top two or three at safety are in decent shape, but I don't think there's a whole lot of depth.
Yeah, well, we were talking earlier, like what would have happened, let's say, first month of the regular season. You know, Dennard, goes out with an injury, is out for the rest of the season. What would the Patriots do then? Mm-hmm. And I think that.
And you think they would have done that? They would have moved McCourty out away from safety?
Well, it's easier to do that now.
Right. I mean, I think. I like the fact that McCourty's so versatile. But, yeah, we would plug McCourty in at cornerback, mm-hmm. and then Gregory is the case that I made in our position battle, which not a lot of people agreed with me on that one, but put Tavon Wilson or Steve Gregory with Adrian Wilson at safety.
Yeah, the fact that McCourty has in the past switched gears week to week between cornerback and safety obviously helps him. But I think, this has been the offseason where he's been able to transition to safety.
Right. And, see, that's why I think – we need to leave him there. I think we need to leave McCourty at safety because I think he's finally found a place where he's somewhat comfortable. I don't think he was altogether comfortable at cornerback when he had to do both and he was going back and forth.
I think that's one of his best attributes, though, is the fact that he could go so quickly back and forth and assume the role so well.
I think the Patriots are best suited when he's at safety because he seemed to be more comfortable there, as you said, and it's also a better physical spot on the field to be that communicator and make sure everybody's on the same page, which I think is a huge asset he has.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the best case scenario is someone steps up to become the opposite cornerback to Tlaib
and
allows McCourty to stay there. But if that doesn't happen,
then you have no choice.
Dowling continues to be injury prone and misses 2 weeks of training camp, and Logan Ryan is a typical third round rookie, just not ready yet, and they need to move McCourty there, I think that would be their best option. But all things being equal, McCourty at safety is the best bet. I think this is a real tough hit because Dennard had come into his own, and there was stability in the secondary when it was Tlaib and Dennard, and this could change that.
And it could change regardless of whether they cut him or not. I mean, we don't know if he's going to miss any time as a result of this latest incident.
As of right now, he has a court date on August 12th. I don't think he's going to avoid being in court on August 12th.
No.
So right there is a mid-training camp distraction. Mm-hmm. It's going to take him away, you figure, for a day or two.
Mm-hmm.
That alone.
That's after the first game.
Right after the first
preseason game.
So that alone, missing a day or two at training camp doesn't alter a guy's role on the team in and of itself, but how much of this is weighing on him, the whole dynamic changes.
How do we feel about Marquise Cole?
Not great as a starter. A regular rotation cornerback.
Over Rozai Dowling?
Well, I'd like
to think...
I can't
even say that.
I'd like to think that Rozai Dowling, I'm going to remain a bit of a believer in him, in that this has been a chance to have a clean offseason, get healthy, get regular
and bigger.
Reps.
He looks bigger to me.
Yeah, and he's
when
always
drafted
been.
Him, I remember one of the first things I noticed was, he was tall, but he was...
Thick.
He was no, he wasn't when they drafted him.
Oh, yeah.
He was pencil thin.
Yeah.
And one of the things I thought...
Sean Crable thin?
Well, almost. Yeah, almost that type of thin frame. And at the time, people were saying, oh, he's so tall, why don't you convert him to safety? And I was thinking... There's no way he could play safety because he would try to run up against like a 250-pound running back, he'd get crushed.
Yeah.
But he looks to me like he's added some weight, some good weight, muscle.
Yeah.
And I think now he might be able to play that corner, that physical corner role that Dennard has been playing.
Yeah, he becomes...
He looks a little bit, physically in stature, he looks a little bit more filled out to me than he
suddenly
did when
becomes
he first got here.
One of the top five most important guys, I think, in training camp this year.
I think so too.
Listen, the guy was the 33rd pick in the draft 2 years ago.
And also because
this is definitely make or break for him, I think.
Oh,
Yeah,
absolutely. Because
they've cut second and third round picks earlier than this.
Yeah, they have.
So this would be it. This would be it. And,
but he hasn't stood out to me really at.
Well,
nobody has
in the spring, really.
Okay.
Because you're not wearing pads. You can't really fly around full speed and hit people.
Yeah.
You know, it's tougher for defense to make an impact than it is for offense.
But he's been
offense,
out there. But he's been out there.
He has been out there.
Which is a step in the right direction for him. So, hey, listen, there's talent there and there's a physical, the size is there. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of elements of Rozai Dowling that scream starting cornerback
potential.
In the NFL.
That scream potential.
Correct. But he's played 9 games, I believe it is, over 2 years, and those games were not, he hasn't made a single impact. And he's certainly
he did start as a rookie. Let's not forget his first game right off the bat. He started.
But
he got hurt that game.
Right,
but
he
had done enough to that point to become a starter on opening day.
And that also speaks a little bit to the state of the team's cornerbacks at that time.
A little more on Dennard just before we move on to some other topics and get to emails and such. Just for anybody who may have forgotten or doesn't know, the other incident we're talking about happened 15 months ago, a week before the draft.
Right.
He was out late. Leaving a bar in Lincoln near the Nebraska campus, got into some sort of shoving match, altercation, whatever, with some other college student or patron there, and a police officer came running up to the scene, sort of behind him or whatever. Dennard throws a punch, hits the cop. He's charged with assaulting both the cop and the patron. He was acquitted, surprisingly, of his assault on the patron, but was convicted, really not surprisingly, of the felony of hitting the police officer and of a misdemeanor of resisting arrest. Could have gotten 5 years for the felony, a year for the misdemeanor, and $11,000 in fines as a maximum penalty. The judge in the case, as you said, Bilo, very lenient in slapping him on the wrist with allowing him the opportunity to play this NFL season.
Yep.
To serve his prison time during the month where nothing is going on, where he could still... Where he could serve his time, come back and start the off-season program on time, not miss anything. Gave him every opportunity, got letters of recommendation from the head coach here, from his former head coach at Nebraska, saying, yeah, it's just a one-time mistake, he's a good guy, yada, yada. And he may very well be a good guy, but he's made some bad decisions.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And this one in particular, when you are already on a short leash... What the hell are you doing?
Got a target. Right. You know,
right. What the hell are you doing?
Rob Gronkowski has a book signing today.
Yes, Growing Up Gronk is on bookshelves now.
A sextuplet of Gronks wrote a book. Growing Up Gronk, Dad and the Five Sons wrote a book.
With someone who can
with
write,
someone else
correct?
who is writing.
Okay.
And today, as we speak at the Barnes & Noble in Boston at the Pru, Rob Gronkowski, and I, presumably the rest of the family are all there signing.
For how long does it say? Is there like a time frame?
I'm not sure. I mean, I know it started at noon.
Because it would be great if any of our listeners are either there or planning to go and can give us sort of a live
about
recap about what happened.
Well, Gronk has already been asked by the media about Aaron Hernandez, about Alfonso Dennard, about his own back rehab. And he has said no comment, no reaction at all. I'm just here about the book. I'm reading some tweets from Mike Reese and Jeff Howe, among others.
Has anyone asked him to sign in the book what he thinks about Aaron Hernandez? Or
that's why we need
or...
someone to call. One of his quotes, though, this is per Mike Reese on Twitter. I can tell you this. I am in great spirits and enjoying life a lot more. So now he's enjoying life more.
How is that possible?
How did he enjoy it last offseason?
Well, how was he enjoying it up to this point in the offseason?
Right. But that's good. He's in good spirits. He's enjoying life. We just don't know the rehab. So that's just a little aside, but no surprise that he opted to give no comment. That would be the smart move by him. But
And other Gronk related news. Ed Werder of ESPN, I believe yesterday, reported that Gronk, let me get that story out here so I'm reading it correctly, but that Gronk is actually rehabbing here at the stadium now, working with the team's medical staff.
Yep.
But that it's too soon to know exactly just how on track he is for getting back either in the preseason or by the regular season. But just the fact is that he's here at the stadium rehabbing on a regular basis.
Well, yeah. Who had reported? I thought that Schefter or somebody had said that progress seemed to be going as well as it could at this stage and that things looked hopeful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There's been no indication that he's had yet another setback. But what does that mean as far as the timetable?
I have the story here from Ed Werder with contributions from Schefter, as Jackie pointed out. Concentrating mainly on stretching and improving his core strength, I'm quoting here from the story, a person who's seen Gronk at the facility tells ESPN that he looks good, seems to be progressing, but nobody knows yet whether he'll be ready for the opener against Buffalo. Okay, great. Yep, seen Buffalo. Maybe. And that's really... That's really the extent of the update, was that he's here working out, at least rehabbing.
So the question of PUP is still obviously on the table.
I would think so.
I would think that on the first day of camp, he will be on PUP, which all that means is he's eligible to start the regular season on PUP.
They need to give themselves that leeway.
In order to be eligible for in-season PUP, missing the first six games without costing a roster spot, you have to be on PUP at the start of training camp and not participate in training camp at all. So I think it'll be a lock that 2 weeks from today, tomorrow, whatever day it is, he won't be on the field and he'd be on PUP. That I would believe. And then
real quick, our guy Jeff Howe is saying that Gronk is not wearing any cast or brace on his left arm either.
Well, that's good. There's still the back though.
There is that very much the concern of the back.
And so I don't think we'll see him at the start of training camp. That buys the team some time. There's no need to push it on July 26th. If you're going to push it at all, it'll be closer to the start of the regular season. But I think there's a pretty good chance he does start on PUP. I think there's no need to bring him back before he's 100% at that time.
I completely agree.
Last year in the postseason, when I don't think he came back too early, but if you want to make the case that he came back too early, well, a playoff game in January is the time to push it. That is the time. If you're ever going to push it with a player, that's the time to do it.
Right. You're saying don't rush it for training camp and the preseason and the start of the season.
And even the start of the regular season. Mm-hmm. Exactly. I think if you're going to push it with a player and an injury, you do it in January for a playoff game. You don't do it in July, August, or September. So I think PUP to start the season is very much
nothing to really worry about.
It's very much on the table. Then you do have to say, well, what will 6 weeks of missing Gronk mean? If it means that he'll be healthy and fresh as the season progresses, great. It can never mean there's a guarantee that he won't get hurt again, but the wear and tear, I think, on a guy like Gronk, the way he plays, definitely adds up and builds up over the course of the season. So I think the team could get by without him for 6 weeks.
Really quick aside, I just noticed this tweet from Adam Schefter 7 minutes ago posted, Patriots running back Brandon Bolden did not run this offseason due to a sprained ankle.
Yeah, I saw that too.
Okay.
That's sort of an out-of-the-blue tweet. Did not run this offseason. We did see him at, he was with rehab guys during training camp, correct?
Yeah, he did not. He was not a
I mean, during minicamp and OTAs.
Yeah, it's hard to keep track of who did what. I don't think he was not a full participant.
No.
Coming off an injury last year and a suspension last year, casting a lot of doubt on Bolden, certainly for what his status is.
He is. Are you guys doing a running back bubble?
We already did.
That was our first one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
We already did. LeGarrette Blount against Brandon Bolden.
And
Blount was the winner. Yeah, so
Blount was the winner.
Blount.
Did you guys mention this when you were on the show on Tuesday? The position battle things that you guys were doing.
We did talk about it.
You introduced it.
Yep.
Okay, because I like them. I want to direct people. I want to direct people to that.
Yeah.
And I think we should at least talk about some of them on the air during the show today too, mm-hmm. just to get fans' input on what they think, on whether, you know, I've been writing some of the verdicts, and Bilo, I've got to say,
without bylaws.
Well, we know because your cohorts are.
Well,
on
none of them are here.
Vacation,
right. But also, I mean, she's catching up to you. You jumped out to an early lead.
I think I'm down.
I won the first three. LeGarrette Blount over Brandon Bolden.
Yeah.
Jake Beckett over Jermaine Cunningham.
Yes.
And help me out. The third one that
I can't recall, but I remember
it must not count. Then.
Oh, Dan was it Dan Connolly and Marcus?
No, I had
Cannon?
Connolly.
She had Connolly.
Okay,
I had Connolly and Mesko.
Connolly.
I think
picked Mesko.
I think there were three.
Gregory Tavon.
Gregory
right?
versus Tavon Wilson. Yeah,
and you took Gregory.
I can't believe.
No,
I can't believe that Tavon Wilson won that one.
I took Tavon.
Well, I didn't write that one then because I would have picked Gregory.
Yeah.
I took
Tavon. So actually, she's winning 3-2.
Yeah.
In your mind.
Well, yeah, in my mind, the only one that matters.
Officially on Patriots.com. Then why don't you guys put a byline? Why don't you guys say who?
Well, there is. That's how Jackie's been finding mine. They're at the bottom of Patriots.com where the writer's little.
Oh, I thought each one just said PFW blogs.
It does, but when you go down to the bottom of Patriots.com where the writer's module is and you see all our ugly faces there, it says who wrote which one.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you got to dig for it.
Right.
A little bit.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, we've got a new one.
Jackie's winning 3-2 in this.
Yeah.
Yes.
And it'll probably end up being 3-3 later today.
Yeah.
We're doing Michael Jenkins versus Kamar Aiken.
Oh,
wide receiver.
You took Kamar Aiken?
No, I didn't.
I took Jenkins. I have stood by Jenkins.
All right, so here's. Let me just set this up. Let's just set it up for people. Bilo and Jackie are on Patriots.com arguing their cases for each of these players at different positions who are, we think, are on the bubble to make the roster.
Right. And it's very unscientific, obviously.
Right, very unscientific.
Position battles 2013.
One of us, usually me at PFW, is rendering a verdict, a written way. And what I do is I summarize both of your arguments and then render my own verdict. But I'd love fans to participate
too
and give us some of their feedback for who they think at each of the positions that you've done so far.
Right.
And we can even talk about some other ones that might be coming up.
Yeah,
in the future,
and the one with wide receiver, we both feel that beyond Danny Amendola, it's a complete mess and a complete logjam.
Yeah.
So picking any two is almost arbitrary.
It's a tough call.
But we figured, you know, with Jenkins and Aiken, it sort of represents the veterans versus the younger guys. And let's be honest, of that Jenkins, Donald Jones, Lavelle Hawkins group, they're not all making it.
No.
And then of those younger guys, the undrafted, the unknowns, like Kamar Aiken, Kenbrell Tompkins, we could throw Josh Boyce in there. We felt Kamar Aiken sort of represents that guy who was a practice squatter last year, obviously making a lot less money, maybe more of a special, maybe could play more of a special teams role than Jenkins if he's on the roster. So that's kind of how we came down to Jenkins versus Aiken. So,
and so I went with Jenkins. And he went with the youngster.
That's going to be the toughest call, I think, is the wide receiver position and who makes it. Because you're right. It's a logjam, and there's no clear-cut favorite for any of this.
Yeah.
I mean, they're either unproven players, they're veterans who are veterans, not really impact players. Even a guy like Jenkins, I think, is sort of an veteran.
Yeah, he's you could say he's lost a step.
You've got young guys with potential who could step up but are injured.
Yeah.
And who knows what their ceiling is.
The only two locks to make the roster, if healthy, are Amendola and Dobson.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Who else is a lock to make the roster?
Yeah.
I think Edelman, if he's healthy, could emerge as the number two receiver.
He could could easily be cut.
He could easily be cut.
For a guy that they waited till the very end, basically, of free agency to sign to a one-year deal with no guaranteed money tells me they didn't really care whether he comes back
or not. And he's coming
off,
you know, he's injured too. So.
Which is a little surprising to me. Given his product, that they waited so long and they didn't really care to re-sign
Edelman.
Could
have been
Edelman
injury.
And
it
gave
could have
him
been,
just, you know, a nothing contract. Given.
Could have been waiting to see where his injury,
well, but just given his production at punt returner, which I think was one of the bright spots, not only for him, but for the team on special teams.
Yep.
An area that I think that they are, you know, one of the better teams in the league at.
Yep.
Yeah.
So I was a little surprised at that, but.
Yeah, which Brian, you brought up is something that Jenkins probably wouldn't be a part of.
Yeah, it'd be unlikely.
Receivers who can play a special team.
Far less chance that he'd play a special teams role. And you know, if Jenkins emerges as the number two receiver as camp ends, then it won't really matter what kind of special teams role he has. But if Jenkins is more like the fourth or fifth guy, then to carry a guy like that on the game day roster to, you know, Eric, bring him to the game, yeah. as they like to say,
yeah.
You need to play a special teams role,
yeah,
if you're going to be on the 46-man active roster on game day, just because you're not going to want to have your one and two guys participating in the wear and tear of special teams on a series in, series out basis. So,
webradio@patriots.com is the email address. 508-298-0398, the Ace Ticket Hotline. We're going to get to some calls and emails in just a sec. Bilo, you're going to depart now?
I'm going to bail. I think the show,
going
on vacation soon.
Yep.
Scooting out soon.
Mm-hmm.
But happy to play a little bit of a role here.
We appreciate it.
Yeah.
We appreciate
your
time.
Beverages.
We will spend the next 90 minutes talking about you behind your back.
As I would only expect and embrace.
I'm not the brightest guy in the world.
All right,
hot dogs and sausages.
And sausages.
That's for
you're going to have some
at some point this weekend.
You'll have both hot dogs and sausages.
More likely hot dogs than sausages, but you never know. I'll keep you posted next Tuesday.
You are
is everybody on vacation?
Spontaneous.
Is everybody on vacation next Tuesday too?
Who knows? I just show up when I'm supposed.
Good coordination though on the vacation.
Yeah,
right?
Excellent. Right. Well, thanks for your contributions.
Yeah, really.
Thus far.
Thanks for having me.
We do appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
All right, quick timeout here. We'll let Bilo run out of the studio, and we'll get to your calls and emails right after this break.
Verizon Fios is America's fastest internet. How fast is that? Faster than Patriots linebacker Gerard Mayo can take down a quarterback, a running back, tight end, or an offensive lineman who just got in the way. In fact, Verizon Fios internet is more than twice as fast as anything you've ever seen. And that means Patriots scores, videos, highlights, and more right when you want them. Fios is built to support multiple devices simultaneously with a constant stream of your favorite Patriots content. And that means you get Gerard Mayo's sacks at Gerard Mayo's speed.
Now that's fast.
Welcome to a world of football where and when you want it. Welcome to Life on Fios, proud sponsor of the New England Patriots. Fios available in select areas. Internet speeds are 300 down and 65 up megabits per second available.
Before Jenny met her new nephew Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochet. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected. The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24-7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store.
The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised. And now, great moments in PFW in Progress history.
From the photos Andy was telling me about.
No. Unlike the rest of the world, I didn't clamor to go see Brett Favre's junk when it was available online. I still have not seen his junk, just like I haven't seen Greg Oden's. I don't seek out male penises.
See?
Unlike some men in this world.
Couldn't agree with him more. I've never seen one of those photos.
But I like breasts. But they said Jen Sterger photos available, see why Favre was after her online. I'd be dialing it up tonight.
Matter of fact, I have done that.
I like breasts. I'm passionate about breasts.
I think that's really funny, though. Why would you ever do like a Google search on Greg Oden's junk?
Right.
Did you see Brett Favre's?
Yes.
Did you see Brandon Spikes?
Yes.
I don't get that. I don't know why you would want to see
just
that.
Watching it.
That's another great moment from PFW in Progress.
I don't know whose junk Fred's looking at today, but it's
yeah, a real great moment there.
You know, it all feel good. Come on, there. It's still coming along.
Oh, Favre. Well, Bilo has left the building. Well, he's left the studio.
He's too good for us right now.
Yeah, he is. So it's just me and you, Jacqueline.
Mm-hmm.
And all of those listeners around the world
who are
emailing in and calling. And this one guy, Higgins and Hopkins, says, love having Bilo on. Can't wait for fantasy football season. He always talks a ton of football when he comes on. Love it. He always talks a ton. You can leave out the prepositional
of football.
Yeah,
there's hardly a time when Bilo isn't talking.
Yeah, I barely got done saying that Alfonso Dennard was. Higgins says, we've got to cut Dennard. Now, the question we had posed earlier, mm-hmm. what do you do with him right now if you're the decision maker? Do you wait and see? Do you make a move now? Higgins says, cut him. I really like him on the field and thought we got a huge steal in the draft. Mm-hmm. But because of his first offense and what Kraft said on Monday, we must prove to the league we put a high value on character, guys. Hopefully this situation will help get some Harrisons, Rabels, Brewski leaders back in the locker room and unite our team before what will be a very interesting season. Besides, I'd love to tell those Crygate Steeler fans and arrogant Ravens fans, yes, we're still better than you. Kidding, of course, he says. But I think there are a lot of fans who probably share Higgins' sentiment.
Yeah. I mean, if I have an opinion on it, then I think that he's right. I don't think that the Patriots can afford to keep Dennard, but I think that it's smart to, you know, obviously research. Yeah, research what's going on, see what the deal is. But unfortunately, I don't really think there's much of a debate here. They're going to have to let him go.
I am with you. Let's go to the phones now. Ricky is in Mobile, Alabama, and has been holding on. Ricky, what's going on?
Alabama.
Hey, how y'all doing? I got a couple things to talk about. I wanted to comment on that Denver thing.
Mm-hmm.
It said like they said he was suspicion of a DUI.
Suspicion of driving under the influence. Mm-hmm.
Does that mean that he didn't take a breathalyzer test or anything?
I think so.
Well, that's part of it.
Right.
According to the, I'll just quickly go over the Omaha World Herald report, which is the news outlet that first reported this. Officers saw a vehicle basically straddling the lane lines between, you know, oncoming traffic, pulled over the vehicle. Dennard was alone in the car, refused to take the breathalyzer, and was then brought into custody and taken to a detoxification facility. And it's unclear whether or not he's still there or not, whether or not he's in police custody. But we do know, as Bilo said earlier, court date on August the 12th, which is a Monday, after the first preseason game.
Yeah, but I think that headline can be a little confusing. Suspicion of DUI, I think, is because, I mean, I'm not a legal analyst by any means, but from what I've been reading, I think that is just because he refused to take the breathalyzer.
Okay. But the things I want to talk about, two things. Mm-hmm. I want to know. I'm on the only Patriots fan in Mobile that I know of.
I believe it.
But the thing is, Tom Brady is so, he gets disrespected so much against Peyton Manning, compared to Peyton Manning. I understand Peyton Manning is a great quarterback, but in my eyes, greatest quarterbacks to me win games and win most postseason games. If the record shows that Peyton Manning got the one of the worst records in the postseason, I don't understand how they keep putting him so far ahead of Tom Brady.
Well, I think a lot of it has to do with personality, honestly. I think a lot of people like Peyton Manning, the person. I think they see his funny side on commercials and a lot of the ads that he does. And there's no doubt that he's a future Hall of Famer based on everything he's done in the regular season. He's a prolific passer. Mm-hmm. Brady didn't really start off that way. You know, he was more of an offensive game manager type. From 2007 on, he became a prolific passer because of the talent he had around him and because of the success he had in big games. Now, lately in big games, he's, gone downhill a little bit. And I think a lot of that, you know, with Manning coming back from the neck procedure and having a fair amount of success last year in Denver and seems to be still playing at as high a level as he's ever played, I think that's why a lot of people, you know, I think if people are on the fence, they probably give the nod to the guy that they like, quote-unquote, personally, and that would probably be Manning.
Yeah,
because a lot of people say, They mad because Tom Brady don't go around on commercials and all.
Well, he does some.
I think it's
he
great
does some.
That
he just does different types.
I think it's great that he doesn't put himself out there too much.
And there's something to be said about being selective and not just, taking every deal that comes by. But
the thing is, Peyton and Tom Brady, they can score by the same amount of points. But when it came down to it, our defense, giving us the last score for us to win the game. It's going to be Tom Brady don't perform well. It just, in big games, our defense be good through most of it, but at the critical point.
Brady hasn't been his best in big games lately.
Oh, he has. I agree with that. He always happens, but a great quarterback going to always have a bad game.
Well, I mean, and honestly, Ricky, you're really, I mean, anyone who's having that argument is really splitting hairs with Brady and Manning. They're one of the two of the three best quarterbacks ever to play the game. I don't really think anyone has any doubt about that. I mean, you could go on forever saying Montana was better, Elway was better, Manning's better. I mean, it's an argument that's never going to be won, but they're always going to be in the conversation. So I really wouldn't sweat it too much about, you know, people who say Manning is better. They're probably also doing it to get under your skin.
Yeah.
I like it, though, cause especially this year. The people, they act like Patriots the whole time, Brett, they act like Tom Brady had a Randy Moss every year or Wes Walker every year. It always been leased by every 5 years, probably. He had a totally new offense of people for our personnel, but they still had success. And it would be so great. If we go and win the Super Bowl, Mobile, Alabama going to hate me. I'm not going to shut up.
Well, one last thing before we let you go. What do you do right now with Dennard based on what you know about it? Do you let him go or do you wait and see?
I'll wait and see because it's not – like Hernandez, a murder case, that's something serious. But is DUI serious?
Well, it's not just that, though. He's on probation. Let's not forget. He's currently on probation for the incident from last year. So we still don't know yet whether or not this is going to have any impact on that, but it certainly could.
Yeah.
And if that happens, you know, is that something the team wants to deal with?
No. If it jeopardizes him playing football, go ahead and cut him. But I don't think they should jump the gun too quick.
Okay.
It might could just be a fine and a court date and just lengthen his probation and probably put another year on his probation.
Okay.
All right.
All right, Ricky, thanks for your call,
buddy. Thank you, Ricky.
All right, thank you.
Try to recruit some more fans down there in Mobile. See what.
Yeah.
See if you can get those numbers up. I think John Hanna lives down there. Patriots Hall of Famer John Hanna. He's from Alabama. I think he still lives there.
I don't know if he does or not.
He might be the only other Patriots.
Hey, okay.
Yeah, that's John. Trying to read a little promo for us once. I think I completely agree though with you and Bilo. I especially after like 2 days after Robert Kraft comes out and says what he said, you can't afford to have. I mean, here's how I look at it, Jackie. I would rather lose with winners than win with losers, any day.
Yeah.
I mean, I know you're in the business of winning. That's what sports is all about. But if it means winning with the kind of people who are always going to give your organization a bad name, right, I'd rather do without them.
You know, it's part of taking risks like anything else, you know, in life. You take risks in stock, you take risks in, you know, job choices. I mean, that's just, it's just part of, I think these are just two very unfortunate, you know, situations that have come back to haunt him a little bit. I don't, you know, I do believe in giving players a second chance. You know, I do believe in that. But,
and he got his second chance.
Right.
Dennard.
Yeah. So this is a tough one to swallow.
That's why I don't think they can
afford to.
I don't think they can
keep
afford
him.
To keep him.
Right.
I really don't. Yeah. Asher in Illinois writes in, says, I personally would be very surprised if Dennard was released. I think that this situation differs from the Hernandez deal in two ways. First is much less severe of a crime, obviously. Mm-hmm. Hernandez was being looked into relation to a murder, whereas this is much less serious DUI. Secondly, I feel that in some ways Dennard was going to be much more important to the team next year. He was going to be a starter and looked good down the stretch on pass defense that has been struggling for years. Given both of these factors, I would not cut Dennard, but it certainly would be his last chance. Asher in Illinois's opinion.
Yeah, I mean, how far do you go?
And again, it's more than just a DUI. It's a DUI during a probationary period.
Right.
That's what people are not... I hope people are keeping that in mind.
Right.
This can have far greater implications than just, oh, it's just a DUI.
Right.
You do anything wrong when you're on probation, you're in bigger trouble.
Right. And they'd already given him, what was the thing about, you know, March?
Right. They had given him a 30-day prison sentence where they could have given him 6 years.
Where it worked out for him.
It worked out for him that they said, you don't have to serve it now. You can wait till after next season and serve it before you have to start preparations for the following season.
Yeah.
They gave him every opportunity.
So it doesn't help.
Oh, God, no.
Doesn't help.
No. And his other point about that he would have been more important than Hernandez, I can't
Dennard
agree with that.
Dennard would have been more important to the team than Hernandez?
Yeah,
would?
I don't see that.
I don't see that.
And, you know, even if you think Hernandez would have been more important to the team, which I do, you still have to cut him for being involved in a murder case.
Right.
Even
I don't
if
think
he's
you
more,
have much of a choice.
You don't
there.
Have much of a choice there at all. But in Dennard's case, yeah, it's less severe of a crime, obviously, but it's still a stain.
Yeah.
To the brand, to the name, to the organization, to himself, to all these, to the coaches who wrote letters on his behalf, to the fans who support him, to the people he said he was sorry to the first time.
Yeah.
I just don't think you can.
Because imagine if something, you know, God forbid, else were to happen again. You know, it's like, how are you going to be able to take?
He's also not right. He's a guy you can't rely on now.
Right.
To be available when you need him.
Yeah.
You got away with it from the pre-draft incident.
Right.
You got away with it, so you knew going into the offseason, basically, all right, we're going to have him for this year. We're not going to, you know, that cloud was lifted. You don't have to worry about whether or not he's going to be available for camp, have to serve any time. He got away with that.
Right. Whew,
you can wipe your brow.
Right.
All
right,
we've got him.
Right.
Now you're completely in a in a position.
And as Brian said, we're in July. Two weeks
it's a little late,
camp.
Right? Yeah. We're 2 weeks from starting camp.
When everyone's supposed to be really gelling together and getting that
knuckling down,
right?
And he's out at 2 a.m.
I saw him on a my plane ride back to, like, I was in Atlanta for a couple of weddings back in May, and he was on my plane back up here.
He's from
Georgia.
He's from Georgia originally.
Yeah, I'd forgotten about that, but yeah, Rochelle, Georgia. I think his high school was, I don't remember what it was, but they were the Patriots.
Oh, really?
Yeah, isn't that funny?
Wow.
So.
Coincidence.
Yeah.
All right. Emails are coming in. We'll get to more of those. Let's jump back on the phones very quickly. Eldred in North Carolina. How you doing, bud?
Hey, fellas. Hey, ladies. How y'all doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm okay, but I'm kind of like the guy in Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
The way the team is right now, I mean, we're hurting on both sides. I'll wait and see. You know, the judge, who knows, might give him I know he's on probation. I understand that. They might make him serve his whole term out. Then again, they might just slap him one more time to, this is it, Buster, this is it. Mess up one more time. You know, you're going to get the max. And I think we should wait.
So what do you...
Because what you are looking at corners and at safety right now, ain't nobody no stand up, no lock, you know.
What if it had been worse than that? What if he had been involved in an accident and it hurt somebody else or worse? Do you still wait and see?
Involved in an accident, hurt somebody worse, that's kind of like Hernandez. You got to let him go then. Because then he's going to get manslaughter or whatever trying to charge us then. You know, he's going to get that then. But this is DUI, I understand, under probation. You know what I mean? I understand.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And it's going to be up to the judge to either throw the book at him or throw a pencil at him, one way or the other.
So So what exactly would make you comfortable if we're waiting to see, what would you like to see happen that would sway it in your favor to be like, all right, you know what, let's give this guy another pass and not cut him?
We'll give him another pass. Either way it goes, commissioner is going to suspend him for a couple of games anyway. You know what I mean?
I'd be surprised if the league doesn't do something.
Anyway. Either was it 4 or 8 or 6. Mm. You know, he's going to suspend him. So he's going to have time to reflect and whatever. And then, like I said, you give him on Ellis short leash, buddy, that was it. That's the last time. You mess up this time, you know, gone. You got to go.
I just don't think you can rely on a guy like that.
Yeah.
Well, some people, you know, I guess they don't smell the coffee unless it's right under their face and, you know, everything about to get taken away.
Yeah.
You know, like Hernandez, right now, I bet you feel very stupid right about now. I know I would be, you know, about an issue.
Let's hope so.
Yeah, but getting back to the other thing y'all was talking about, Aikman or Jenkins. But see, y'all keep Slater's on the team, too, but he's on as a special team.
Right.
To me, that's holding up a slot.
He's also a captain, so he's not really – I don't see him as being on the bubble for anything.
Oh, no.
Well, I know, but he just do special teams. You know, he's a captain. He's a captain on special teams.
Yep.
And to me, that's a roster spot that's, you know, you need at that wide receiver spot.
Mm-hmm.
Because the way y'all looking at it, is Amendola, Dotson, Boyce, whenever they decide to come back, and then you got Slater. So it's just only two slots left. You know, if they keep six receivers.
Mm-hmm.
And then they ain't queuing the practice team, practice squad, in case they want to develop somebody. You know, and then out of those six, only five going to get to play because Slater ain't going to play receiver. He's playing on special teams. To me, that's a wasted a roster spot.
You think Slater being a wide receiver is a waste of a roster spot?
Yes, because see, that's how they got him listed on the depth chart. He's a wide receiver.
Yeah, I don't think he's a waste. I think
no,
he's
not a waste.
I think
not
he's
at
a
all.
Huge contributor in special.
He's also the kind of person that they need more of on this team. If you get my drift,
right? Yeah, I mean, he's a gunner. I mean, I think Slater's great special teams. I don't think he's worth giving up a roster spot.
I don't either.
But he's not a receiver.
Well, I mean, he can.
Tried to mat it,
he can be.
Not.
He can be. And given the state of their receiving core right now, I'm not in a position to be just arbitrarily getting rid of people who can catch the ball.
Played on the team what 5 years?
He was drafted in 2008, so this will be his sixth year.
Yeah. Okay, out of his 5 years, I only seen him play receiver a couple times.
Right.
And then after that, that's it. Mainly,
well, because he hasn't.
Jazz on special teams.
Well, because they've had other players at the position. Now this year, it's kind of up for grabs. I mean, he's.
Well, yeah, I understand, but see, when they had Chad Ochocinco and Brandon Lloyd.
I know you're.
But you've got to think that.
You know what I mean?
I know you've
got to think another handful of these pass catchers though are going to come from your tight ends too.
Yeah, I understand that too. But
they were going to come from the tight ends. Now
I think
they
still.
They might. We'll have to see who steps up there too. Eldridge, thanks for your call, my friend.
Thank you.
It's going to be. Wide receiver is going to be, I think, the most interesting position to watch in camp this year.
Still, even though tight end position.
Yeah, only because I think you already knew that tight end was going to be a little bit of a question mark without Gronk, at least to start.
Mm-hmm.
And Hernandez coming off sort of a iffy year.
Yeah.
If he had still been here, I think.
It will be fascinating. I wish we could have seen more from the rookie receivers during this offseason.
Yeah, me too.
Because, I mean, like I said this on a Tuesday, watching the college film of these guys looked really impressive. I actually kind of might. I like Boyce a lot. I'm not gonna say over Dobson because Dobson's got different qualities.
Oh, yeah.
But
they're different types of.
They're different
players.
Types of receivers. But I really like. I think that Josh Boyce will fly under the radar for a little bit.
I think both of them have to contribute. If they're healthy, they both have to because they represent the potential and the talent that has been lacking at that position.
Mm-hmm.
I really think they both need to step up. They need to get healthy first.
Yeah.
But I think both of them need to step up. Dan in Sandwich, Mass. writes in, if I were in management, he's talking about the Dennard case, I'd first determine what happened, what the process is, how long it may play out, how that would affect the team, etc. I would not react in a knee-jerk way because of the Hernandez situation. Apples and oranges. I'd also not react because of media pressure. Well, yeah, I'm not saying that they do anything because of the media that. I'm just saying, If you come out and say that we're for certain things and we're against certain things,
mm-hmm.
you have to practice what you preach.
Yeah.
And I just don't. And
there is something, though, about, you know, it is smart to wait a little while mm-hmm. and not make any rash decisions on anything. But I just don't see how, like my question to the last caller, I don't, like, what exactly are we waiting for? Is it, I mean, for me to say the Patriots should not cut him, I'd need to know that this cop, you know, was wrong or had, you know, just it wasn't true, something along those lines.
Yeah, if the whole thing were a mistake and
yeah, I mean, help me out. I'm trying to think of other instances or other things that would happen that would have to happen for me to wait and see to be like, okay, well, mm-hmm. you know what? Maybe we should give this guy another chance. And but I feel like he's run out. He's run out of chances.
Yeah, I'm afraid you're right. Joel is calling from your hometown, Jacqueline, Atlanta, Georgia. Joel, you're
nice.
On the air.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
How you doing?
Hey, Joel.
Hey, I'm doing good. It's kind of raining here in Atlanta.
Here too, yep.
But just want to comment on dinner. I don't know what these guys be thinking. I mean, you would think, it's been 2 weeks since Hernandez situation?
It's been a few weeks, yep.
Yeah.
A few weeks. You would think that will be on their mind every time they leave their house.
Yeah, you would think.
Every time.
Yeah.
But I think the Patriots will cut him. And the only reason why I think the Patriots will cut him is because of the situation with Aaron Hernandez. Even though, yes, we're talking about murder and a DUI, but the fact that it's bad press. If the Aaron Hernandez situation did not happen, we wouldn't be talking about Dinner getting a DUI because it wouldn't be in the news.
Oh yeah, we would.
It'd still be in the news, but I think that you're right with the Hernandez situation has enhanced the attention drawn
to
Dinner.
Sure, and Joel, let me forget, Dinner's on probation already. If this had come up in a vacuum, if there had been no Hernandez or anything else, it still would have been a top news story because it's a starter who's in trouble with the law who potentially could be unavailable for an undetermined length of time. Of course it would have been a story.
What I'm saying is it wouldn't make CNN, Fox News wouldn't be talking about it. It would just be the Patriots world.
It'd be ESPN, it'd be NFL Network. Yeah, it'd be all the football world covering it. I see what you're saying.
I don't think it would even be ESPN.
Oh, of course it would.
I don't think ESPN even covered the fact that when he got charged.
Sure, they did.
Back in March.
Yeah.
I heard about it on.
It was huge news all over the football world when it happened. I don't know what you were watching, but ESPN was certainly among those covering it.
Especially the NFL Network. I mean, they're
it's NFL News. It's huge news.
Especially in the off season, there's not a whole lot going on. And
right. But when you have CNN covering Aaron Hernandez 24 hours a day, that's unheard of.
I mean, that has
transcended.
Look,
that's transcended the sport.
CNN was here when the Patriots drafted a third string quarterback, Tim Tebow.
That's a very good point.
I mean, you know, but that's Tebow. I mean, he has done nothing
wrong.
right.
But then they were here. I don't know where.
It still would have been a big deal, Joel. I see what you're saying. It wouldn't have been on probably national news outlets, but it certainly would have been a big deal for everybody who covers football. No question about that.
Right, but now it enhances the fact that okay. Because what happened with Aaron Hernandez a few weeks ago, now Dinner situation,
sure. It's an easy way for news outlets to advance a story that they were already covering.
Right.
For columnists and opinion makers to advance their storylines about what they say about this team and this organization.
Yeah.
Right. And another thing is, when do you ever see the Patriots, after a situation happened, put out a statement the next day? Patriots normally, they wait maybe a week or so before, you know, after the situation has calmed down, then they'll put out a statement. Have you ever seen it?
Well, it depends. I think each situation is different.
Any situation.
Not to borrow a phrase from the head coach, but each situation is different, and I think they handle each situation differently.
Yeah.
Right. But I think Dinner will be released. I mean, it's unfortunate.
You do think he'll be released, though? Is that that's?
I think
that's,
so.
Okay.
I think for them to cut ties with Aaron, and again, I know it was murder,
Okay. But for the Patriots to cut ties with Aaron Hernandez, and they were paying him, what, $41 million?
Yeah.
And I can't believe Bennett was a seven-round pick. He part, what, making $300,000? Maybe?
I don't have his contract numbers off the top of my head, but he was making six figures, it's safe to say.
Okay, well, I mean, to them, that's pennies compared to what they're paying.
Oh, yeah, it's not a money issue. It's certainly not a money issue.
I know it's not a money situation, but you can actually make it a money situation. Like, hey, you know, we're really not paying him much. We can go ahead and release him, and it's not going to really hurt the Patriots as far as with their salary cap.
A real quick update, Jeff Howe. Got his hands on the police report. It says Dennard, quote, emitted an odor of alcohol and displayed signs of impairment, unquote. He was given a field sobriety test, refused the breathalyzer. So there's your suspicion of driving under the influence.
Okay.
Don't the NFL provide drivers for these guys?
Yes.
There is a program.
Yes.
You're right.
There are ways to
avoid getting yourself in
that
situation. Yeah. Yep. You're exactly right. It's a good point you bring up. He was also cited. He was also cited and released per Jeff. I guess he found the police report. So he's now out of custody, apparently.
Released from custody.
Yeah, but he was cited, which I don't know exactly legally what that means in terms of his violating his probation in any way and what that might mean. So it bears watching though, because I think there will be more ramifications from this.
Of course. I mean, he's definitely in trouble as far as with the court system is concerned. I think as soon as I give it about a week. By next week, you'll get a statement from the Patriots saying that.
Well, we already got a statement.
Right, for saying that he has
saying that they know about the incident and are waiting for more facts to come out.
Where in Atlanta are you calling from, Joel?
I'm actually in Smyrna right now.
Okay.
I'm at work outside in a car. I love PFW. It sucks. Can I say sucks? I guess I said it already.
You did already, so it's a little too late now. No, you can say that. As long as it begins with an S and not an F, you can say it.
Yeah.
You know, normally I call in Fred and Paul and but I think they're on vacation, right?
They are.
They're on vacation.
They are.
It wasn't a Tuesday either, so. And I know I tried to call a few weeks ago right after the situation with Aaron Hernandez, and you guys' phone was just
busy. Yeah, and it is today, too, so we're going to have to let you go, Joel. But thanks for calling in, and don't be a stranger, okay?
Oh, no, absolutely not. You guys have a great day.
All right,
thanks
Joel.
Too.
Appreciate it. How about that? A little love from your hometown,
huh? That was nice. I appreciate that.
Nice little surprise.
I know, Smyrna. I'm like, I know where that is.
Well, we're going to give Jackie a minute to compose herself.
Yeah.
I'm going to take a quick break here. 508-298-0398. There's a little bit of room on the Ace Ticket Hotline for you to call in. Webradio@patriots.com. Plenty of room in our inbox, too. So if you want to email us in wherever you are around the world, we're happy to talk about Alfonso Dennard, about Rob Gronkowski, and his update today. And anything else.
You can also find us on the Twitter.
That's right.
The Twitter world.
And your handle is?
@JackieBritton.
Very simple.
Pretty easy. Yeah.
I'm @E_.
Scowl.
Right.
Scowl.
Don't forget the underscore.
Scowl.
Don't forget the underscore. And anything else you want to talk about? The position battles, we talked about that at the start of the show that Jackie and Bilo are engaged in on Patriots.com. And I have been rendering a lot of verdicts. Jackie is, in my book, winning 3-2. But we'd love for fans to go to Patriots.com and read those verdicts and give us your opinion right in on what you think on what we've the bubble battles that we've talked about so far.
Bilo's not here to campaign
for
himself,
not.
So that's
he's
his
not.
Loss.
He's not, and he would not do a very good job of acquitting himself either anyway. But we'll get to all of that right after this break.
Verizon Fios is America's fastest internet. How fast is that? Faster than Patriots linebacker Gerard Mayo can take down a quarterback, a running back, a tight end, or an offensive lineman who just got in the way. In fact, Verizon Fios internet is more than twice as fast as anything you've ever seen. And that means Patriots scores, videos, highlights, and more right when you want them. Fios is built to support multiple devices simultaneously with a constant stream of your favorite Patriots content. And that means you get Gerard Mayo's sacks at Gerard Mayo's speed.
Now that's fast.
Welcome to a world of football where and when you want it. Welcome to Life on Fios, proud sponsor of the New England Patriots. Fios available in select areas. Internet speeds up to 300 down and 65 up megabits per second available.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected. The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at patriotsproshop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, better banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking. Sovereign Bank. Member FDIC.
Back here on PFW in Progress, it's the Eric and Jackie show today. We lost B-Lo early on.
Yeah, he left us.
Thankfully. Couldn't get a word in edgewise.
I know. It's usually the case, you know, on air,
and I'm used
air.
To him. I room with him on the road, so I'm used to his yapping all the time. But boy, put a microphone in front of him and it's just nonstop.
Whole new world.
I love him. He's my boy.
Yeah.
Swan writes in from doesn't say where. We get a lot of places. A lot of people that write
that.
In from doesn't say where.
Yeah, well, yesterday or Tuesday, there were a lot of
Wish
people
I knew
from
what state
North
or country
Carolina,
that was from.
Alabama.
But Swan says it about the Dennard situation. It never occurred to me that Kraft would keep Dennard. My gut reaction when I read the release this morning was, wow, Wonder if Kraft's seen this yet. Kraft bought the Pats because he loves them. I think he wants to clean his locker room. Personally, I'd have released Dennard immediately, then send out a mass email saying, next guy goes too. Wow, zero tolerance from Matt.
Yeah.
From our guy Swan from Doesn't Say Where.
Yeah.
But that's, I mean, that's, we're getting, I think we're getting reaction on both sides.
Yeah, I think that's the first one we've gotten that's very, you know, straightforward, no tolerance, no
right.
questions asked.
And Steve is on the
Don't
other end of the spectrum.
200.
He says, you keep Dennard. His situation's nothing like Hernandez. Dennard didn't take the breathalyzer, but it's ridiculous to release him unless he'd be suspended for an extended period.
I don't know if that's the point, though. I think the point is that, you know, the team's trying to be more careful about these kinds of things. And now they're faced with
Very
another challenge
with
so
what's
soon
happened
after
lately.
Hernandez. I think that's the difficult part here.
Yeah, because
you know, I don't think that it's you know, DUI is less, you know, not as horrible as a murder.
Well,
I don't think
because he's lucky that it was just him and there wasn't anyone else involved.
Yeah.
You know, as we saw with
the Cowboys
yeah,
had a bad situation.
Exactly.
With that. Yeah.
Could have been a heck of a lot worse for him.
Right.
And then
so, yeah,
I mean, then the decision is a lot easier for you to make from a personnel standpoint.
Right.
Because obviously there are going to be ramifications from that. This one, I can see where people are trying to take it a little bit slower because
right.
maybe his punishment for this might not be as severe.
There's a little bit of unreasonable doubt. Maybe.
Very little.
Yeah.
Very little. So
right.
I can kind of see where people are
yeah.
wanting to take it a little
I
bit easier.
I can see it.
But
I think, see that side.
I think people are expecting something to sooner or later
yeah.
happen from this. So I don't know. We're still in the gathering information stage.
Right. And if you guys want to talk about anything else other
yeah,
than Dennard.
Sure. We talked about earlier, Gronk is signing copies of his book today in
right.
Boston with his
I didn't realize there
several
were five.
Brothers.
I thought there were four.
No, there are five.
There are five brothers.
Yeah. There was I think Gordy Jr. is the oldest.
Wait, there's six. There's six total or five?
I think there are five. There's Gordy Jr. is the oldest. Then there's Dan, Chris, Rob, and I'm forgetting the young one who plays at K-State.
Hmm.
But I think it's those five. It's those five.
Wow, five brothers.
Five Gronks.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Gronk was. He had microphones in front of him today, but he wasn't commenting on any of these serious.
Right. Don't worry. You haven't missed anything
stories.
There.
Yeah, you haven't missed yeah. anything there. Our buddy Mike Reese tweeted a picture out from the event, and Gronk was wearing short sleeves, had no cast or no brace or anything on his left forearm, which is good.
Yep.
But we couldn't see his back, obviously. And
right.
The only report we have on that was Ed Werder's thing that we mentioned earlier,
mm-hmm.
That he's working out with the rehab staff here at the stadium, which is good news that he's
– yeah.
That he's in town, that he's working with the team, that he's a step, at least taking steps in the direction of
right.
getting back.
It doesn't seem like there's anything really holding him back right now.
From his rehab.
Right.
So that's some sort of good news. That's the best news I think we've heard from
yeah.
Gronk in a while.
Thank you.
But our boy Clint from Newport News, Virginia, citing that Mike Reese photo says, is it me or does Gronk look extremely thin? And
I haven't even, to be honest, I haven't seen the picture.
I showed you very quickly the photo. So, yeah, take a quick punch that up if you can.
Was this Reese?
Yeah, from maybe a half hour ago or so from that event in Boston. And if he is a little bit thinner, I mean, I saw Gronk, I guess it was, well, we saw him in Newtown, Jackie.
Right.
When was that, May?
I think it was.
Or June. It was.
Yeah, it was May. I think it was, May, like 17.
And he didn't look that much different to me.
No. He doesn't look that much thinner.
And he doesn't look that much thinner to me in Mike Reese's photo either.
Mm-mm.
But
I don't think so.
I think there might be a little bit of atrophy on his arm because he hasn't been able to lift or do anything with that.
He didn't strike me as
But
thinner
it didn't look as it didn't look as bad as Clint seems to think.
Yeah.
But I'm just glad to hear that he's here.
Right.
He's doing stuff.
Yeah, that's
he's
definitely
working toward getting
a
back.
good sign.
Webradio at patriots.com, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket hotline. Jamie in Houston is back on it. How you doing, Jamie?
Houston.
Good afternoon, Eric and Miss Jackie UK. How are you guys?
Good. Thanks.
Yeah, to quote the great Duck Commander Phil Robinson, Robertson, rather. He gone.
Yeah.
You think so?
You don't think, yeah.
Zero tolerance for you?
Zero tolerance?
Well, not so much. I mean, but just the big picture. We talked about, the front office and the sensitivities there. And, yeah, he's got several strikes going against him. A, you know, he was given a break already. He should have been put on a short leash. I think Bilo articulated that very well. I'm sure mm-hmm. there was an approach to that matter. Then Mr. Kraft goes out in front of everybody this Monday and, you know, kind of talks about the message about, you know, cleaning up and evaluating people and going through this process a yep. little bit more more cleanly. And then this knucklehead goes out and pulls this. It's a maturity issue. It's about choices in light of what's just happened. So I think they end up making the exit short of this kid being acquitted or, you know, in the grand jury, they don't take the charges and it gets dropped very quickly. I think they're going to send him packing. And, you know, the other piece is he wasn't a marquee player. He's important. I think Bill would love to have him, but I don't think Bill's going to fall on his sword with Robert Kraft butt heads. And, you know, fall on a sword to keep this kid, I think he's going
to
be gone.
Yeah, Bill, I think, went out enough on a limb to try to get his sentence reduced as much as possible last mm-hmm. year. So
right.
I think
you can only do that so many times.
You can only, exactly.
Yeah, so I think they're parting ways, and I think Robert Kraft probably even helped him clean out his locker if,
All right, so let's follow up that question then with the one that Jackie and Bilo and I were advancing earlier, which was let's assume you do make that move.
Yeah.
Who do you put at corner there?
Yeah, you've got to go back to McCourty, I think, you know.
And you agree with him?
Did they really take anybody developmentally in the draft again this year for a developmental guy in that role at all? Or, I mean, mm-hmm. you know, you just play off what you've got. You just go to the next roster down. But I think it was Jackie had mentioned.
I mean,
later
Logan Ryan, maybe you could consider that.
Maybe, but I love that McCourty. He may be more comfortable at safety, but I love how versatile he is and how well he can assume the cornerback role. And
yeah,
if push comes to shove, you've got to.
He knows the system. He's got the knowledge as opposed to relying on a rookie.
He does,
you know,
but I think I disagree only because I would much rather put him in the position where he's most comfortable, and I think that's safety right now.
Yeah, but sometimes you just got to. He may be more comfortable there, but sometimes you really just got to take one from the team.
Well, not only that he's more comfortable, but I think it's better for the team that he's there.
Okay.
I think he might be a.
And then
better
you would put
as a leader at safety as opposed to at corner, and then maybe try your luck with, you know, hold your breath and put Rozai Dowling out there or Logan Ryan or Marquise Cole.
Do we break Inkertleman back out? I mean, I think Edelman's going to have a big role.
I don't think so.
We talked about him with you guys a couple weeks back before all the shenanigans with Hernandez, but I think he's going to play a pivotal role. And
I think
you guys kicked that around where he's going to be in the depth.
I'd hesitate to put him in the cornerback mix right now only because he's enough of a battle to make the wide receiver position as it is.
Yeah.
You know, once he makes it, if he makes it at wide receiver and then you have issues during the year like they did in, 2011 when he played, corner.
I don't think they need
then
to
maybe
resort
you,
there yet.
You consider that, but I think he needs to make the team as a receiver first. They mm-hmm. need help
yeah.
there.
Yeah. And
as
unless
well.
Inkertleman, you know, speaking of people doing stupid stuff, unless he misbehaves again, I think he's locked to make the roster somehow just because of his versatility and his experience in the club.
Yeah. As long as he's healthy.
All right. Anything else, Jamie?
In these dark times, I was going to save this one, but I'll put it out there now. In these dark times, facing adversity, I think Kennedy once said it great when he said, "Don't pray for easy times, my friends. Pray to be stronger men."
Nice job with the Massachusetts accent, too.
All right.
A true Texan.
All right, go Pats. Later on.
Thanks, Jamie. Appreciate the call. Yeah, I really am uncomfortable putting McCourty back there because you're right. He has the ability to do both. I don't dispute that at all.
You're saying from a production standpoint.
From a production standpoint and also just from a consistency standpoint.
You would rather throw Rozai Dowling in there than Devin McCourty right now.
Yes, because
That's risky.
Because I want to keep as much of the secondary intact as possible. And to do that, you're only replacing one guy. Now you upset the apple cart a little bit at safety, even more than it already might be. So I would rather stick with what I know and give a shot to a guy who Bill obviously liked, took him a lot higher than most people thought in Dowling, and that high in the second round. And he seems to at least be able to stay on the field, at least during the spring he was. I say give him every opportunity to win that job.
I would agree with you in a preseason game.
Right, to start preseason. Let's see how that plays out. And if he does it consistently, it's his job then, I think. Because you know you don't have to play McCourty at corner during the preseason. You know he can play there.
Right.
We already know that. So it's not like you're testing him out there. Give as many people a chance as
but
possible at that
Dowling.
Spot. Dowling and Logan Ryan or whoever else steps up into that role. Give them the chance.
Yeah.
And if all of those fail, then you say, all right, we got to bite the bullet. We got to put McCourty back there. Now let's deal with the safety position. I say let sleeping dogs lie here and just replace the one position that you might have to replace. If that's
I
Dennis.
Agree with Bilo that the communication within the secondary is key, and McCourty obviously is the leader there, and maybe you know it's easier to communicate whatever with his field is on the field as a safety, but I don't know. We'll find out soon enough, though.
Yeah, 2 weeks. Can you believe 2 weeks from tomorrow we have our first practice to cover?
I can't.
It's officially the 2013 season in 2 weeks.
I never thought I'd see this day. It felt like it was going to be winter forever.
I disagree. I think this offseason has flown by, especially with all of the nonsense
we've
had to
deal with. The past month has flown by.
And the time that we wanted to go so slowly, too. It's the one time for us to chill during the offseason. And that went out the window.
Yeah, I guess so.
A lot more emails and phone calls are piling up, too. Let's get to a few of them here. Hang on 1 second.
Mm-hmm.
Nick in Victoria, I think he's kidding a little bit, says, dark days in Pat's country. Odd how it's all happened after the signing of Tebow. I don't know religion all that well, but isn't Jesus supposed to be a ray of light, not a dark cloud?
Oh,
and we don't have Fred to tell us it's going to be all right. Thanks, Nick Victoria.
Well, here,
Nick
I'll tell you. It's going to be all right.
I don't know
if I'm going to answer that.
I think he was kidding.
Okay.
Nick's written in a lot of times, and
okay,
I think he's being a little bit, trying to be
so
a little bit funny.
So what's the question then?
No, he was joking. He was saying Tebow, it's all Tebow's fault.
Oh.
And what's funny? When Tebow signed, before all of this latest bad stuff happened, everyone was worried, ooh, Tebow's going to be a distraction. Tebow's going to be a distraction. Now I think the PR department would
Bring
love it. If
Tebow
would
mania,
be
yeah.
if anybody just wanted to talk about Tebow right now,
yeah.
I think they'd love that.
You know, I was going to blame Abby Thielen, who is one of our newest members in KSP.
Oh yeah,
and she's been here about the same time. And so
as
we
Tebow.
Were talking this morning. We were like, you know what, Abby? Maybe there's something to be said about the fact that you started around the same time that all this stuff came out. So. You blame Tebow, I'm gonna blame Abby.
Okay.
Just kidding, Abby.
Dan in Virginia, who's actually from Australia originally, because he called in last week.
Okay.
And we got that. He says, g'day, PFW and friends.
Hello, mate.
Given the whole Hernandez thing, I'm guessing with whom the players are associating will get more scrutiny. In that case, Zach Sudfeld, the
mm-hmm.
rookie tight end,
like
might need a second look. His little bald friend is a compulsive liar, and his hipster doofus, well, I don't know what he's talking about there. Oh, wait, that's Seinfeld, not Sudfeld. Well set up there, Dan. Love it. Good job there.
What?
Actually, just seeing the news on Dennard and feeling a lot less like joking. Sheesh. Massive head slap. What was he thinking? Yeah. What are the chances the Pats will cut him? If they do you think he gets picked up by another team? Well, that's the question we're posing today is what are the chances they cut him, and what do you think? Jackie and I are in agreement that it's inevitable.
It's
sooner
pretty,
or later, it's probably going to happen. I'd be a little surprised if it doesn't, honestly. And then he moves on to wide receiver here. Should the Pats give Laurent Robinson a try? What do you think is Bill's problem with bringing along young wide receivers? Is he not drafting players with sufficient talent, or is the problem once he brings them into the system? Thanks for another great show. There's been too much off-season news, but at least this is all happening early in the off-season, and hopefully the Pats can get this all out of their system in time for the regular season, and it will all just be grist for the mill of greatness. Well, it's a little late in the off season now. I mean, like we said, we're 2 weeks away from our first training camp practice, and We're still talking about
brushes when things
with the
are
law.
Supposed to be gelling together and
yeah,
kind
and
of
you're supposed
slipping
to be
out
players are supposed to be getting in shape if they aren't already.
Yeah. What was his question?
Laurent Robinson, at wide receiver. I don't even know if he's available. Can you do a quick search on Laurent Robinson? Last I remember, he was. I can't remember. Was he a free agent this offseason? I forget. But anyway, as you look that up, Sam from Old Bridge, New Jersey is writing in. Hey, gang. Eric, see you're keeping down the fort really well. Thank you. First off, thank y'all. He threw a y'all in there. Thank y'all for keeping me company on this slow day. Is it just me or is the offseason longer this year? That's what Jackie says. She can't wait for the regular season or preseason, really.
Yeah,
anything.
I'm excited.
Anyways, I think, one, Pat should wait and see what is really happening with Dennard. But if anything goes beyond his arrest, yeah, they have to stick to their message from earlier. And that's we want good character players. Also, last time Brady didn't have his favorite targets, we were a player or two from winning the AFC Championship. Yeah, luckily. So contrary to fans freaking out, I believe we are okay. I think the dark horse is Edelman because before he went down last season, he was pretty good. There is hope, Patriots Nation. Well, Sam, they were really lucky that they got to the AFC title game in 2006, and they did it on the strength of Tom Brady, who at that point wasn't in his playing bad in big games mode. He was actually playing very well in big games, and it was because of him that they got that far. I'm not so sure that they'd be able to do it again without some of his favorite targets on the field. But
well, I'll interrupt. Robinson is a free agent. Okay. Didn't know he shares my birthday. That's kind of funny.
Really?
But
like same year and everything? Or?
No, not same year. Same day, May 20th. But he spent 2009-2010 Seattle. I mean, I'm sorry, St. Louis. And then looks like he's kind of jumped around a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, seems...
He's a big kind of receiver, right?
Yeah, let's see.
Big-ish.
I don't know why he doesn't have his
I don't know. I think at this point they're going with who they have at wide receiver.
Yeah, I don't think the key is to bring in more wide receivers. I think they have
three roster spots still available? They only have 87 players, right?
I get.
So
well,
there's room. They still have room to make a signing.
Is that where you want to bring in?
Well, I think they might need
guys.
They might. They definitely need to bring in I still think they need to bring in John Abraham. I know you guys probably talked a little bit about this.
A little bit, yeah.
Right? I still think he needs to come in at some point. So maybe they're holding out one of those spots for him. But yeah, they certainly, if there's a guy that they can.
I mean, this guy, his stats don't look all that impressive to me. I mean, I would have, he's what, played in 7 games with the Jags last year? I don't know.
You'd pass.
I'd pass.
Okay. All right, let's go back to the Ace Ticket Hotline. Ryan's in Arizona. What's up, Ryan?
Hey, I was just wondering why, I remember a couple of years ago when I was watching the draft and we got Rozai Dowling and everybody was all, what? Why'd you take him there? And then now everybody's just wanting to write him off because he got injured. I mean,
well, he had been injured. He didn't just get injured. He was injured throughout his high school and college career. He had always been an injured player.
On IR, off IR, on IR.
So that was always an issue with him.
Yeah, but I mean, like, isn't that football? I mean,
well, no, not every player. Like, that, no, most players aren't always injured. That's why it's called. That's why injury prone is a negative on most people's resumes.
I mean, injury does plague everybody, but it just seems like this is something that Dowling hasn't been able to shake.
Yeah, when you're injured all the time and you're always missing games, you become injury prone. That's
Brian Bielow is still a believer in Rozai Dowling.
I kind of am too, only because he has to.
Yeah, I mean, this is make or break for him. I think. If he doesn't show something during training camp, preseason, whatever, then I don't think.
I think he just got his ticket handed to him. So,
I think he's got. He might have his best chance, and if he doesn't take advantage of it now, I think Jackie's right.
Like, show me that you really want to play
and can.
Yeah, and can. That's what I'm still waiting to see from mm-hmm. Rozai Dowling.
Well, wasn't the reason why Belichick wanted him for the same reason why we got Philippe, because he was bigger, more physical, and.
He is big. He's the tallest corner we have right now, I believe. And I think he's gained a little weight. So he's certainly better
physically
so
than
great.
He was a couple of years
great.
Ago.
So something to look forward to then.
Yeah.
And then just one last question.
Sure.
I haven't heard any. Is Brandon Spikes, what's up with him?
He was at minicamp because it was mandatory.
Yeah, I think he was rehabbing.
And he was mostly rehabbing. Yeah. Wasn't doing a heck of a lot, but
he was here.
Yeah, he was here.
You think he's going to get re-signed or?
He's going into his final year of his contract this year, right?
Yeah, I wouldn't expect any premature extensions,
especially not
after what's happened with that lately.
Let
him play out this year. Let's see what he can do, and then worry about it at the end of the season. Mm-hmm.
All right.
Thanks for the call, Ryan. Appreciate it. A lot of people out in Arizona call from
there. There's a lot of people. I didn't realize that y'all got so many out of state.
Oh yeah,
like so many callers out of state.
And a lot of people write in from around the world too. Yeah. Did you get any foreign emails the other day?
I think there was somebody in Ireland. Yeah.
All right. Webradio at patriots.com, 508-298-0398. One more quick timeout. In this show, and then we'll get back to more of your phone calls. We've got people lining up right now on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Emails keep coming in. We'll be right back.
Verizon Fios is America's fastest internet. How fast is that? Faster than Patriots linebacker Gerard Mayo can take down a quarterback, a running back, a tight end, or an offensive lineman who just got in the way. In fact, Verizon Fios internet is more than twice as fast as anything you've ever seen. And that means Patriots scores, videos, highlights, and more right when you want them. Fios is built to support multiple devices simultaneously with a constant stream of your favorite Patriots content. And that means you get Gerard Mayo's sacks at Gerard Mayo's speed.
Now that's fast.
Welcome to a world of football where and when you want it. Welcome to Life on Fios, proud sponsor of the New England Patriots. Fios available in select areas. Internet speeds up to 300 down and 65 up megabits per second available.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, better banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking. Sovereign Bank, member FDIC.
The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
It's time to get down to the oldies with Paul Perillo.
Paul, big news in the disco. Donna Summer is dead.
No!
What did she sing? Hot Stuff, Bad Girls.
Last Dance, right?
Last Dance.
I got her part. Knows her part.
She works hard for her money on the radio. Fred likes to paint this picture of me, you know, at the discos in my prime. I would have had to have been about four at the discos.
I like disco.
I'm not afraid to admit it.
You had a Donna Summer album?
Oh, yeah. More than one.
Oh, yeah.
I love disco. I do. Still do.
Now, back to the disco kings of PFW in Progress. Paul Boogie Nights Perillo and Fred Roller Coaster of Love Kirsch.
Roller Coaster of Love.
Nope. Neither one of those clowns is here today. You've got the,
I'd like to see that.
You've got the intelligent crew here. Eric Scalavino, Jackie Britton, keeping you company until, well, we only got about 20 more minutes to go, Jackie.
Yeah, I know.
It's been a quick show.
It has been.
Enjoyed having you on.
It's been fun. I'm going to come back.
Really? I hope so.
I'm going to come back.
Can you replace one of these other two clowns?
You know, I'll do my best.
Or three clowns, I should say.
I'll do my best. Fred, I have no beef with Fred.
All right. Hey, we have some major breaking news to report.
Hmm.
The NFL supplemental draft has come and gone, and not one player was taken.
Mm, okay.
Did you know how many were eligible?
Six, right?
Yeah, yeah. Very good. Yeah. No one got taken.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a sad day for those guys. Sad.
If a supplemental draft happens and nobody gets taken, does anybody hear it?
I didn't until you just told me.
Yeah, exactly. Supplemental draft has been interesting in the past, but I totally even forgot about it this year.
I really didn't. I saw the list of guys, and that was about as far as I went with it.
We need some help. Well, actually, we need to give some help to a Patriots fan here. Pat from Agawam, Mass. Is in
Pat
dire
Patriot?
Straits. He's Pat Patriot fan.
Okay.
He's from Agawam, Mass, and he's really in trouble here, and he needs our help, and he needs our listeners' help, too, I think, because I don't know if you and I are just on our own going to be able to do this.
Okay, let's hear it.
He says, what in the name of Dick McPherson's going on here? PFW and Progress crew, you have to put your best crisis negotiator faces on and talk me off this ledge. For those who are unfamiliar with my loyalty to this team, yeah, that would be all of us, probably. I grew up in Western Mass, Springfield, to be more specific, which is the bandwagon capital of America. In the Patriots' previous darkest hour, the 1990 Lisa Olsen scandal, I decided to become a diehard fan when most everyone in my junior high were Giants or 49ers fans. I lived through that horrible 1-15 season, the failed Dick Mac experiment, Parcells turning his back on the organization prior to Super Bowl 31. That was after Super Bowl 31. Spygate, Super Bowls 42 and 46. But all those things pale in comparison to this past month or so, and this has really tested my patience and loyalty to this team. I've actually thought about cheering for another team, maybe the Browns, I don't know. I need you to tell me everything will be okay and not to jump. I've formulated a strange opinion. I think this will be the last year Bill Belichick coaches this team one way or the other. I think Kraft is either going to ask Bill to resign, or worse yet, tell him he, Kraft, now has final say on all draft picks and personnel decisions, which will in turn force Bill to quit. Maybe I'm crazy, but I think the only way Bill saves his job is producing a Super Bowl winning team this year. Am I crazy? Should I jump? Help me out here. That's a desperate Pat in Agawam, Massachusetts.
Well, I think if you've been able to handle all of the, years worth of stuff that you mentioned, you can handle this. I'm not really all that worried. I don't think Belichick's going to leave before Brady does. I mean, I think
he knows
that
where his bread
okay.
is buttered, right?
I think that you're going to be okay. I don't think that this is the worst thing in the world.
And doesn't being a fan mean going through the ups and downs, the
right,
dark times? I mean, when you're in a marriage, you say for better or worse.
Yeah.
Sickness and in health. We're in a sickness right now.
Yeah.
And you don't just abandon people. You don't abandon people you love when they're in trouble. You
right.
stick with it.
Yeah. And nothing's ever, 100% perfect.
And you
and
know
this,
what?
This will, I think this will be a good wake-up call. You know, like, there's a lot to learn from both of these things. And I think that the Patriots will.
And nothing is ever as bad as it seems.
Yeah.
Things aren't necessarily always as good as they seem, perhaps, but they're not always as bad as they seem. I think you have to find the perspective and the even-keel middle ground here and realize...
Yeah, don't jump.
No, don't jump at all. Stick with it.
It's
stay
too
loyal.
Soon.
And... You know, like you said, if you're willing to stick through the 1-15 and all that other stuff, mm-hmm. why now? You could have done it a lot
yeah.
sooner.
I don't think there's much to really. It's a lot at once. I think is what's getting a lot of people.
Yeah.
You know, in the span of a month, had both of these instances.
It is. It has been a lot. There's somebody here who might be able to help us out too. Our friend Kat in Chicago has a little bit of a background in psychology and might be able to give a little bit more of a background on this. Kat, how you doing, girl?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
Not bad. I'm better than Pat Nagawam, so he could use some
him.
Help. Well, what do you think?
I think he needs some anti-anxiety medication.
Yeah.
He needs to calm down.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think there's any chance any of that is going to happen between Belichick and Kraft. That would be like the world turning the opposite way on its axis. It's not those two are no matter what's going on, I think those two are together.
I agree with you. I think, Brady's got, a three-year contract, wants to play for, 10 more years.
He's through 2017 right now.
Yeah. I don't think that things are going to be take that much of a turn around here.
I personally think Belichick will stay for at least a year or two after Brady is gone, personally. But we'll see. Maybe that'll change as time goes on. But on the whole Denner situation, personally, I don't think he's going to get released, and I don't think we can afford to release him. I think that we're looking for big steps from our second-year guys on the line and in linebacker positions, and I think in order to give them the best shot at progressing, you have to have a strong secondary to take some of that, give them some more time to get to the quarterback, give them some more time to do what they need to do, and I don't think we can afford to lose Dennard. I don't want to see McCourty going over there. I agree with you. I think he's a much better safety than he is a corner. Just because he's versatile doesn't mean he's a great corner. And so I personally, I'm hoping that there's some other resolution to this, like maybe Dennard agrees to do community service.
Kat, what if he's unavailable for any length of time, preseason or regular season? I mean, because
yeah.
I would imagine if he gets in any sort of trouble from this,
right,
the league is going to step in and do something.
I would still keep him. I would still keep him even if he loses two or four games or something like that to suspension. I still think it's worth that to keep a guy whose potential. I mean, it's not like if we release him, he's going to be out of football. Somebody's going to pick him up. Somebody's going to have him. He's going to be on an NFL team. He has enough ability.
Oh, the Jaguars, certainly.
Well,
they pick everybody we cut.
Yeah.
They're probably just waiting for Aaron Hernandez to get with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. I think we got to give the guy another shot. I agree that it was a really stupid thing to do, especially timing-wise, but I'm hoping that the organization is going to look at this as, here's a young guy. He's got a lot of potential. We should stick by him. It's not his third strike. It's only his second. We might be able to get through to him. Let's get him in some sort of a program where he can maybe do some, he can do some PSAs or he can meet some people who've been affected by drunk driving accidents and maybe, get him on the phone with Dante Stallworth.
That's a good point.
Well, see, here's the thing. Doing those things and actually meaning what you say when you do those
right.
things are two different
right.
Creatures. I think
yeah.
you really have to hammer home the point that someone is truly remorseful. I mean,
Right.
He said it last
Dante
year.
Dante Stallworth is obvious.
Dante Stallworth, I mean, he came on this program.
Really?
And talked about it.
Yeah,
he was
visibly still shaken by that.
And that's someone you can tell was affected and was changed because of it. You know, a young kid like Dennard last year is doing what his lawyers tell him to do. Be nice, apologize, say all the right things, and you'll get your sentence reduced. That's exactly what happened. The fact that he got himself in this situation again tells me that he hasn't learned and it hasn't gotten through the thick skull of his.
Yeah, not great.
Yeah.
Not great.
So I wouldn't just say that, you know, doing a PSA is fine if you mean it, if you mean what you're saying.
Right,
and he has to prove to me that he means it, and I'm not at that point yet.
Right, which is why I would like him to meet some people, talk to some people, get, you know, I think these kids are so insulated.
Oh, yeah.
And they think they're invincible, and they think that, you know, and that's the way that we give them that. We, you know, all through high school, all through college, mm-hmm. we tell them that they're Superman.
Yeah,
and
I mean,
they're
the going to
make it.
Yep.
Right, and I, personally, I've talked to John Rook about this a lot too on the air. I think that the whole college system and the way that we prep these kids, we expect them all of a sudden to come into this as a career and act in a way that they have never had to, and they don't know what they're doing. You know, we need to be better about prepping them.
It's maturity is the biggest thing with a lot of these cases.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They're just too young and suddenly too rich and have too much. You know, they're surrounded by yes people,
mm-hmm.
and they don't have anyone telling them what's right and wrong.
Right.
And they get away with things all the time. So they get into this cycle of bad behavior because, oh, whatever, I'll get away with it. That's the thinking.
I just think that's not a good enough reason to give up on them. I think, personally, I think there should be kind of more massive sweeping changes. I wouldn't be opposed to, like, a curfew for rookies, you know, their first year or something like
that.
But
don't they already have curfews?
During camp, I believe they do,
and on the road,
we certainly do.
Yeah,
and
during the regular season?
Aren't enforced.
Yeah, when we go on the road for trips, so that there are curfews in place.
I don't think things are enforced at home, though.
Maybe
and
not.
And that's where a lot of this stuff happens.
Yeah.
You know, so, I don't know, I just think, I would prefer to give the benefit of the doubt and see, you know, and the next time it is his third strike and he's gone, but...
Well, you're more lenient than I am, Kat, because in my book, this isn't life is not baseball. You get two strikes
two
in my
strikes
book.
Two strikes is too many.
Two strikes is too many.
Yeah.
But I see your point, and I respect, mm-hmm. you know, your opinions on it.
I do.
And I think from the response we've gotten today, I think it's 50-50
with
Patriots fans. I think half of them agree with you, Kat, and I think the other half are on our side where they don't even want
to not,
they're tired of talking about criminal players.
Yeah, well, and it's hard to you've got, you know, I don't want the Patriots certainly
criminal
making
behavior,
any,
I should say.
Any decisions on Dennard just because of what happened with Hernandez. Like, I don't, you know,
separate
I don't want
cases,
them to
right
I don't
cases.
Want them to feel that since, you know, they had to take action on Hernandez that they need to hurry but I think that just none of this is looking good and none of it's there's nothing really right now to convince me to say, well, you know what? He had his two chances. Let's give him a third.
Well, it seems like this is a rampant issue too. I mean, it seems to me, at least, every couple of weeks I see something on NFL or ESPN saying, you know, so and so arrested for DUI or so and so. You know,
oh, it's not it's not exclusive to the Patriots. This is a league wide problem.
No,
this
Look
is a league wide problem. Yeah,
the Cowboys guy who killed one of his teammates,
Michael
drunk
Turner.
Driving.
Yeah. Michael Turner last year was.
It's not, it's a league epidemic, and it needs to be addressed, I think, more than, you know, I give Goodell credit for trying to be a disciplinarian since he's gotten into his office there. And I would credit him with doing more if he wanted to. I wouldn't be opposed to stricter punishments for even the most minor offenses. To hammer home the point, when you get to this level, this is your job. We're paying you obscene amounts of money to play a child's game. You're a young, probably immature person at this point in your life, but we're entrusting you with all this money, all of this responsibility. You need to be held accountable for the first time in your life, probably, that if you do something wrong, it's not tolerated. This is the real world.
Right.
This isn't high school and college recruiting. This isn't, you know, chemistry class. This is the real world. You do something wrong, you pay the price.
Right.
Right.
I think pro sports in general needs to adopt more of that attitude, and
I just don't see it happening as quickly as I would like.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
I agree.
Anything else, Kat?
I don't think so. Thank you for having me.
All right.
Thank
you, Kat. Always a pleasure to have you call in.
Have a good weekend.
Talk to you soon. Sean, another Vancouverite writes in. This is Sean in Vancouver. Hi, Eric and Jackie UK. I'm not ready to write off Alfonso Dennard. Doesn't look good, but we don't have enough information. He could start game one, be suspended for a few games, or worse case scenario, be released. I think the chances that he's cut are less than 50-50. Each player is evaluated on an individual basis. Although a DUI is bad, it's not murder. Dennard has had some other off-field issues, but a three-game suspension might be enough. If he's not charged, then he might not get suspended at all. I hope for the best. Go Pats.
Well, for PEDs, aren't you suspended for like four games?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what more information do you need? He was arrested for suspicion of DUI. I don't think I need any more information than that.
Yeah, you're preaching to the choir here. I agree with you, but I mean, I'm trying to play devil's advocate and see the other side of the story here because, you know, there are some good points being made. You know, maybe the
right.
Maybe it's not as bad as it's
right.
being portrayed right now. I mean, it's not That's even 12 true. Hours right. since he's been arrested. This is a story that's still developing. We're mm-hmm. we're not even 12 hours into it. So as we're doing this podcast live, so maybe more information will come out. Maybe he'll be exonerated somehow. But I don't know if I can't take the risk. I wouldn't want to take the risk.
No.
Any more than we already have. If this were his first offense, I would certainly be willing to say, all right,
you're
let's.
More open to,
I would be
right.
far more open. If this
right.
were his first time getting in trouble, I'd be more willing to say, yeah, let's certainly play this out. Let's see what happens. And
right.
regardless of whether he was an incumbent starter or not, I would have saying, all right, he's a young kid. He screwed up. Fine. You get a second chance. But once you've had a chance and once you've gone through the whole histrionics of oh, I'm sorry and I mean it and I'll be good, if you do it again, you're just an idiot.
Yeah.
You don't deserve another chance after that in my book. Scott in New Jersey on this topic, if I were Dennard, I wouldn't have taken a DUI test either. I would be afraid the police would corrupt the evidence just to get me. After all, he only got 30 days for hitting a fellow cop. Remember that today the police routinely enter license plates in their computers just to check the car. I don't know that. The police knew it was Dennard before they even stopped the car. Further, the reports I've read say only that he straddled the line, not that he was driving erratically, the typical DUI tip-off. Well, straddling a line is... means to me that half of the car was in the opposite lane and
yeah.
half was in, I mean, straddling means what it means.
Yeah.
That's driving erratically. Anyway, he continues, don't you think you should wait and at least see the police cruiser tapes and the film of him at the station before you convict him? We haven't convicted him. We're just,
right.
we're saying
it's not looking good.
It's not looking good, but it's all, we're saying what his status on the team is. We're not saying that he's guilty or not. We're
right.
saying the fact that he's in this situation at all, out at night, late at night when he probably should be, you know, getting into training camp type mode.
Mm-hmm.
You're not out at 2 a.m. during training camp.
Yeah. And the fact that he was arrested, that's the word that is bothering me.
Yeah. Scott continues, I also have been known to straddle the line while driving when there isn't any traffic, stone cold sober. Well,
yeah, my dad is a terrible. He likes to own the back roads and just, you know, he drives however he wants. I mean, that's, yeah, whatever. People, fine.
By the way, how many people do you know lose their job because of a DUI? In my 35 years in the workforce, I've seen several people keep their jobs after a first such offense and none fired.
He wouldn't lose his job. He would just lose his job here.
He would lose his job
Every
here.
Every company has their own standards.
But it's also not his first offense.
Right.
He's on probation, Scott, for punching a police officer last year. It's not his first offense. And I think most people who have multiple criminal records in the real world don't get hired in the first place at good, high-paying jobs. Agreed?
Yeah.
I mean, if you walk into a normal job interview at a Fortune 500 company and you have marijuana and assault charges, and I'm not saying Dennard has marijuana.
Right,
I'm just
right,
saying
right,
if
right.
you have just random indiscretions on your record, you stand a much lesser chance of getting that job than somebody who
yeah.
has a clean record.
Yeah.
And he
will not lose his job. He'll be picked up.
He'll get a job somewhere.
Right.
Eventually. But he has to pay a price.
Yeah. Right.
He can't just skate.
Right. 100%.
There are consequences for your actions.
Of course. Of Of course.
I think some fans are just too blind to the on-field aspect of players' behavior that they refuse to admit that these guys do anything wrong.
Right, yeah. No, please.
It's infuriating sometimes. On spikes, Brian from, again, doesn't say where. Very popular spot.
Is that, like, are they actually typing in doesn't say where?
No, they just don't say where.
Oh, okay.
So I say that they're from doesn't say where. What do you think the odds are that Spikes re-signs during the season? I think he is invaluable to our defense. What do you think?
Invaluable?
Yeah, it's the same as valuable.
Oh.
It means the same thing. It's one of those weird English words that is silly. we kind of talked about this briefly at the end of the other call. I think they definitely wait and see with him.
I'm not going to make a judgment call on that yet. I wait and see. I like Spikes. I think that trio, the Mayo Hightower Spikes, was really coming into their own. And he, you know, I think the lesser of the three. But I'm not.
But as far as
nothing
his,
bothers me really about
no,
his
but
play.
Is he worth an extension? Is he worth re-signing during the season? Or just, you know, wait and see how well he performs this year? I don't think there's any need to rush it and give him an extension now.
I'll wait
to let him get to.
Yeah, I don't want to make a judgment call on that yet, because I think he still has a little bit to prove, but I'm not going to write him off.
Hmm. Okay.
I mean, we're talking about giving people the benefit of the doubt here.
Okay. I just don't think he's done enough to me to warrant, oh yeah, we got to re-sign him during the season. We got to get this done now. You know, it's not like Gronk or, you know, a couple of years ago or, Mayo or, you know, I would have extended Welker during the season.
Yeah.
Try to get that done before it got to the whole
franchise
mess that it got
stuff.
To. Yeah. But anyway, Melvin in Tennessee, you're going to be our last call for the show today. What's up?
What's up, yeah? How y'all doing?
Good. What do you got? Real quick, because we're running out of time here.
Yeah, I was just trying to make a reference as far as, I know last time I emailed discussing the two running backs on the field at the same time, and you all took it as far as, I guess, not the formations, but I saw a report coming out recently about, you know, Vereen taking those snaps as wide receiver. So I just wanted to say that I think that he should, because, you know, I want to see him more on the field more often instead of being underutilized at times.
Shane Vereen?
I agree.
Yeah.
I think he'll be on the field. I don't think he'll be exclusively or specifically as a wide receiver.
No, he's definitely a dual threat.
He'll be in the backfield. He'll motion out of the backfield. He may at times line up wide, as we've seen Kevin Falk or Danny Woodhead do, but he's a running back.
Right.
His job is to carry the ball. He has a running back's body. He's not a wide receiver. He can catch the ball.
But he's a lot like Danny Woodhead in that sense.
Yeah, and he's probably, I think, better, at least in the receiving aspect. I mean, he doesn't really carry the ball or hasn't had the chance to carry the ball as much, but I completely agree. He has to see the field more than he has in the first 2 years.
Yeah, I think he will. I really think this year will be a big year for him, because he ended on a big, big game.
He did, and then, you know, he had three touchdowns in one game, and then kind of the next game, I rarely saw him. And Deion Branch, I mean, I love him to death, but was lined up against the linebacker the whole time, I mean, and wasn't even getting thrown the ball. I think he should be, if he was, you know, switching to that role, he could be at that role, you know, maybe doing some slants, getting behind, because I think he could be able to, you know, beat some linebackers. So I just want to see him used more.
He will be.
And, yeah, exactly. That was my main point.
Yeah,
all right.
I think he will be.
All right.
Well, y'all finish up, man. I'll talk to y'all later.
Thanks, Melvin. Appreciate the call. And with just the minute we have left, Jackie, we're going to read this email from Will in, guess where?
You don't know where.
Or doesn't say where.
Doesn't say where.
Right. Says, hey, guys, just wanted to say that I'm really enjoying Andy being on vacation. He can be very annoying sometimes, and instead of talking about stupid, unrelated things, you all seem to be far more focused on Patriots talk now, the stuff I want to hear. Keep Jackie and Brian on the show. Give Andy the boot. I couldn't agree more with that email if I had written it myself.
That's so nice. Yeah, it's been fun. I'm about to come in here and rough Andy up a little bit.
Yeah,
put him in his place.
Yeah, he does deserve it.
No, but it's been fun.
I think you would enjoy that too much, Jackie.
Oh, boy. Maybe maybe on second thought.
I got your back.
We just bring B-Lo back.
I'll help you out.
Yeah, it's been fun, though. I like this.
2 hours have gone by.
We'll change of pace.
It's been a quick 2 hours. Sorry, folks, that we had to talk about off-field,
law-related
things. But, yeah, don't give up hope, especially Pat Nagawam.
Yeah.
Stick with it. Don't give up on the people you love. If you love this team as much as you say, stick with it.
That's right.
Stick with us.
I second that motion.
I don't know about the going to the Super Bowl part every year, but you can at least stick with your team.
Crazier things have
through
happened.
Through thick and thin, through good and bad. And if all else fails, what other team has PFW in progress? None.
I can't think of anybody.
So you can't jump ship. You have to stick with us. We will be back next Tuesday. We'll see you then. Enjoy the weekend, everybody.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.